You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
Our series is Come Holy Spirit, this ancient prayer of the church. Without the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and equipping us, we have nothing to give that the world needs. We have nothing to give, but as an empowered church, God just wants to do amazing things. He will use us to do the ministry of Jesus as we continue to keep our hearts and lives open to His Spirit, and as He leads us and guides us and sends us out. So last week we talked about the call to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be continually filled, not just the initial introduction of the Holy Spirit at salvation, but an ongoing infilling that happens with the baptism that we see happening in Acts chapter 2. We talked about that last week, and this is a call to deeper, ongoing relationship with God, to be filled to overflowing. And that it's not just about us, it's about us being filled, but then it's also about us overflowing, as we sang this morning, with the love and the power of God. And one of the ways that God wants to do that is through a thing called spiritual gifts, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These, in some parts of the church, let me just be honest, they're somewhat controversial because of some of the ways that they have been misused and some of the ways that, maybe some of the ideas about spiritual gifts that are not in sync with what Scripture says spiritual gifts are. So this morning, we want to be a people who are looking at God's Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to show us how spiritual gifts are to be used today in ways that bless one another and bring honor and glory to God. And so we want to talk about what gifts of the Holy Spirit are and what they are not. First of all, spiritual gifts, if you got your notes and want to follow along with us in your program, spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities from God to do a particular task at a particular time. Supernatural ability, like an insight that says, "Okay, this person has, they have a backache that occurred from a car wreck that happened 6 years ago." That you wouldn't know that in and of yourself, but there is just supernatural unctioning, a supernatural insight that God just sovereignly gives you on a specific occasion for a specific purpose. Maybe highlighting a person. Or maybe it's a gift of faith, or how God might want to use you to bring about healing just in that moment. We don't possess those gifts. God simply imparts them to us at a particular time for a particular task. And with spiritual gifts, we don't earn them. We don't work for them. We don't attain some level of spirituality in order to receive a spiritual gift. One of the things that we need to understand is that God will pour out spiritual gifts on people who are spiritually mature, spiritually immature. He will pour them out on children, on youth, on adults, men, women. He will pour them out on anyone who is open and available for them. Just as we see on the day of Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit being poured out. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus had told them, go and to Jerusalem and go and wait and pray. And they went in the upper room, His disciples, and they waited on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, "You will receive power." And so the Holy Spirit came, He filled them, and then there were gifts that were given as well. And our Father, He is a good Father, and He gives really, really good gifts to His children, including gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 2, we see the infilling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, those waiting in the upper room. And it says this in verse 4, our first seeing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were poured out upon the day of Pentecost. It says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them." So we see this first gift, which is the gift of tongues. And what did that look like here? In Jerusalem that day, people had gathered from all over the region to celebrate one of the Jewish festivals. And so they're there from all over the region, and they spoke different languages that came from the different regions. And so the miracle that happened here was as those in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they were speaking in tongues that were not native to their areas. And people saw them and recognized, oh, you're from this area, but yet you're speaking what they speak over here, and you don't know that because you've learned it, or this is just something incredible that's happened. Many people recognize that as such. Other people started making fun of it. They said, this is crazy. These folks are drunk. Now, I have never seen anyone drunk speaking a different language. Have you? That's just in my small world, my cloistered small world. I haven't seen that. Maybe you have. But this was a supernatural ability that came from the Holy Spirit that was like, wow, what's going on with that? That's something. It was something they couldn't do in and of themselves, but yet here they are doing it. And then later in this same chapter, we see where Peter takes to the street. He's filled with the Spirit of God. There's amazing boldness that comes on this man that just weeks before had denied even knowing Jesus to just a few people. And here he is proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, and he's calling them to repentance, to believe on Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and to invite him to come in and lead their lives. And 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And then we read in verse 43 of Acts chapter 2 that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, the miracles that took place, the healings that took place. These were all the byproducts of gifts of the Holy Spirit that were being poured out on those in the upper room. So more gifts of the Spirit, more supernatural abilities given by God to these followers of Jesus. Now, spiritual gifts, they came on the scene at the beginning of the church. They have been utilized throughout the history of the church, and they are still for us today. God is calling us to be a church that is filled with His Spirit, that is overflowing with His Spirit, that is utilizing all the wonderful byproducts of His Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about what these things are and what they are not, because that's been the source of confusion and even some controversy in the church over the many, many years of the church's existence. Spiritual gifts are tools. They are simply tools for doing the ministry of Jesus. They are not spiritual merit badges. Spiritual gifts demonstrate God's grace and His love. These are tools. That's what they are. Paul is writing, later we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, and look at Paul bringing correction to the church at Corinth, because they had started using and seeing spiritual gifts as something other than simply tools for doing the ministry of Jesus. You know, I grew up in a wonderful Pentecostal church, a First Assembly of God in Lincolnton, Georgia. It's a wonderful church that's still growing stronger than ever. That's where my parents are, my brother and his family. Great church. And I remember growing up, it was a church where gifts of the Holy Spirit were somewhat active, but it was always among just sort of a small group of people. It wasn't like the whole body really functioned in gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is all my recollection as a teenager, okay? But I remember that the few people that I saw sort of functioning in with gifts of the Holy Spirit, can I be honest, they were a little weird. They were a little weird. They were. And I also noticed they were a little weird, and they really weren't involved in the life of the church. They were just sort of off doing their own thing, and they never served anywhere. They never served anywhere. It was just sort of weird. It's like, okay, that's, and so every now and then they'd have a prophetic word or something. Sometimes it would be courage, and sometimes it was just strange. But that was sort of my introduction to spiritual gifts, which was a mixed bag, to be honest with you. But then when I came into the Vineyard, I began to hear John Wimber teach about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit were not just for a few, not just for spiritually elite people, whoever they are, but they're for everybody. Everybody gets to play. And so that's why here at the Vineyard, we teach our V kids, our V youth, our adults to hear God's voice, to pray for one another, to expect to see signs and wonders as the Holy Spirit empowers us. This is to be the will of, this is the will of God. This is, and he wants to equip everyone, spiritually mature people, spiritually immature people, people who, you know, are doing well, got their act together, people who are falling apart, who are broken. He wants to use all of us, all of his children, his sons, his daughters, to be used in spiritual gifts. This word for gifts that we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians 12, the word is charisma. Which means a free gift or a spiritual endowment from God. And John Wimber, the late leader of the Vineyard, he used to talk about spiritual gifts, and he called the spiritual gifts gracelets, just God randomly just pouring out and blessing, randomly just giving gifts as he deemed. They're not ours to keep. They're not ours to possess, but just as the Holy Spirit would just decide, I want to bless this person with this gift to serve someone else. I want to bless this person, and I will give this gift to Phil, and Phil's going to have a word of knowledge about this situation that's going to bring encouragement and bless this person over here, that he would just randomly do that, these gracelets. And ultimately, this word charisma, the root of that word is charis, which is God's love and God's grace. And that is what spiritual gifts are all about, sharing and demonstrating God's love and his grace, whether it's in the context of a church body or it's out in the world around us. It's about sharing God's love and grace. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to have the passages that we're going to read on the screen as well. But this is a letter that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth to bring correction about spiritual gifts, because they were using spiritual gifts but not using them in the right way. There was a lot of funkiness going on. They were seeing spiritual gifts as an end unto themselves rather than seeing them as simply tools for doing the ministry of Jesus. And so we're going to look at what Paul has to say. And this list of gifts that we're going to look at here in 1 Corinthians 12, this is what we call power gifts. Now, there are other places in Paul's letters where he talks about other types of spiritual gifting. And many of those are more innate gifts, like someone who has the gift of hospitality. That's not just for a particular moment or for a particular time, but that's just something, they have a gift of hospitality. Maybe they love cooking, or someone who is a really wonderful teacher, and they are able to use that gift in a variety of settings. Or maybe someone who is musically gifted, that's an innate ability that a person has, and then they can go and get more instruction and nurture that gift and develop it. That's a different kind of gifting. It can be used for spiritual purposes, but here we're talking about the power gifts that God, for a particular moment, for a particular kingdom purpose, would impart to us. They're not ours to keep. They're not ours to build identity in. But they are simply given for God's good purposes to be filled out at that moment. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Paul writes, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And here he lists the nine, what we call power gifts. "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." And so, to the mature, to the spiritually immature, to those who've been followers of Jesus for 6 months or 60 years, God just sovereignly distributes those gifts. I shared in the first service how part of my introduction to spiritual gifts also came when I was at Oral Roberts University. Mary Margaret and I were both students there. That's where we met. And a wonderful opportunity that we had there to grow academically and spiritually. And I learned a lot about spiritual gifts there. And some of the people that were associated from time to time with the school and the ministry, to be honest with you, some of them are no longer doing the ministry of Christ because they're fallen. The Roberts family were wonderful. I really enjoyed my time there and learned a lot from them, and I really greatly appreciate the legacy of the late Oral Roberts and just how God used him. But there were some other situations where it's like, wow, I see God using them, but then a few months later you would hear about their ministry falling because of integrity issues or, you know, all kinds of things. And I remember going to my pastor in college, a wonderful pastor, and I was having a really hard time with this. Like, okay, see this guy, he's praying, he has a word of knowledge, and whether it's a chapel or one of the TV shows that I was working with that was part of the ministry, it's like there seemed to be power and fruitfulness and effectiveness. But then a few months later, you hear this person having a moral collapse. And my pastor, Richard, actually, he was awesome. He said, Reese, he said, you got to understand that God will use anyone who is available to him. That means, you know, all kinds of people, all people who are spiritually mature, people who are spiritually immature. He will use whoever's available. Why? The end result was God wanted to bless that person who received healing or that person who was encouraged by that prophetic word. And God did and will deal with the issues, the sin, the whatever in the lives of the people who are functioning in spiritual gifts. And that came to pass. And that still happens. And so it's about just recognizing that if God's just waiting for a perfect person to utilize his gifts, then he's going to be doing a lot of waiting, isn't he? He's going to be doing a lot of waiting because none of us are there. None of us are there, but God is just looking for people who are available, who are willing to be used. Again, spiritual gifts are tools for doing the ministry of Jesus, not spiritual merit badges. And it's all about demonstrating God's love and his grace to people. I remember when John Wimber would teach on spiritual gifts. And the very first time I ever heard of John Wimber or the Vineyard was at a chapel at ORU in the fall of 1983. And he taught on the five-step healing model, which was really cool, seeing 5,000 students pray for each other. It was really, really wonderful. Later, hearing John Wimber teach on spiritual gifts, an analogy that he would use was that of the Holy Spirit being like a master plumber, and that we are his apprentices. That we go out and we are his apprentices, and we're going out to clear a clogged kitchen sink. And our posture is that we go and he says, hey, get up under the sink. And we respond in obedience and we get up under the sink and we simply hold out our hands. And he places in our hand the tool that we need at that moment, and he tells us how to use that. And it's that posture of humility, of that open hand, listening ears and attentive ears to, okay, you're putting this in my hand, how do you want me to use this? That's the same kind of posture that we're to be using today as we seek to operate in and with gifts of the Holy Spirit, these tools for doing the ministry of Jesus. Now, in your notes, I've included a grouping of these nine gifts. We don't have time today to explore all nine of them. We're not going to do that. We're actually going to be doing an equip workshop on a Saturday morning sometime later in May or in June. Be watching for details on that, where we will be able to really go through and look at all nine of these power gifts. But they're sort of grouped this way with like groups of the gifts of discernment, the eyes of God, the gifts of power, the expressions of the hand of God, gifts of speech, the expression of the mouth of God. So Paul's writing here about these spiritual gifts to the Corinthian church, again, because they're really using them in unhealthy ways. And he's saying, I want you to use them in healthy, good ways. Part of the controversy with spiritual gifts has been that people read Paul's words about how to use the gift of tongues and when to use the gift of tongues and when not to. And they read that and say, oh, he's dissing the gift of tongues. So therefore we should have nothing to do with this gift. And probably all of them. So those were just for that day. And Paul's not saying that at all. Paul's saying use the right tool for the right job. That's what he's saying. He's saying you've been using this gift, this tool, but in the wrong way. Now, I do some fixer-upper stuff at my house. I am by no means an expert in any of these things, but I like to have projects going on. And I've got a few tools. I've got a paintbrush. I've got a hammer. Very good tools, right? You need a hammer. You need a paintbrush. But even I, in all of my inexperience, I have never tried to nail a nail in the wall with a paintbrush. Hopefully you haven't either. And I have also never tried to paint anything with a hammer. It's like, wow, you're really smart, Reese. Wow, that's impressive. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying paintbrushes are good. They're good tools. Hammers are good tools. Use them in the right way. Use them in the right way. And that's the correction that he's bringing as he talks, as you read the whole book. And in these gifts that he talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about the what of spiritual gifts. And then if you read the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, most of us probably know it better as the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. At first glance, it could almost seem out of place. That's the chapter we use in our weddings. Why is it here? It is placed there for a very precise, very important reason. Because love is the mode in which all spiritual gifts are to be utilized and exercised. And if they are exercised in any other way, that's where hurt comes. That's where all kinds of weird stuff happens when we seek to function with spiritual gifts and utilizing spiritual gifts when our motivation is anything other than love. That's when it's going to be very, very unhealthy. And that's why Paul says in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians that follow the way of love, follow the way of love, and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And then he goes on to detail the fact that prophecy brings edification and encouragement, strengthening and comfort, and that's why we want to do that there. So this idea, follow the way of love, the agape love, and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And this is something that we can't be passive about, because neither selfless love, which is the kind of love Paul is talking about here, the agape love, neither selfless love nor spiritual gifts come automatically. They're not just an automatic response. They are the result, both of them, both agape love and spiritual gifts, they are the result of intentional pursuit and not passive indifference. So it's not good enough for us to sit and say, okay, God, regarding spiritual gifts, whatever, you know, no, that doesn't fly. Paul tells us and reminds us that this is something we are to eagerly desire. On the list of what you are eagerly desiring right now, what is on that list? What are you giving time and imagination and energy, thought life to, passion for? Paul is saying that we should follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, not to be passive about it, but to eagerly desire it, and eagerly desire it for our everyday lives. Yeah, we want to see spiritual gifts alive here in the walls of the church, in our kids' building, in our youth areas, in our small groups, with our food pantry, with our outreaches. We want it to be a regular part of our church life. But we also want it to see spiritual gifts come alive in us outside the walls of our churches. We want to see it in homeless shelters. We want to see it in schools. We want to see it in hospitals, at Fort Gordon. We want to see it on construction sites and in industrial plants. We want to see it come alive wherever we find ourselves going. Because we are the ones that God's saying, hey, I want to use you. I want to give you a spiritual gift at AU. I want to give you a spiritual gift at Martinez Elementary. Wherever you find yourself, that's where I want my gifts to be poured out. And so he's calling us to expect this as a natural part of our lives as followers of Jesus, to be naturally supernatural as I go throughout my day, that I'm going to just be open to what God's got for me, that I'm going to expect him. I'm going to eagerly desire. I'm going to pray, God, would you pour out spiritual gifts? Would you empower me and equip me with spiritual gifts for today and help me to live with my hands open and my ears attentive and alert to what you might say? We want to ask for gifts. Be willing to take risks. To be willing to take risks, because we're not going to always get it right. That's okay. God's not looking for perfect apprentices. He's looking for people who are available. That's why he would use people who were morally broken, because they were available. They were willing. But guys, he wants to use all of us, whatever state we find ourselves in. And so some days we'll get it, some days we won't. And some days it'll be a mix. I remember one of my mix examples. I went over to what is now South State Bank. I think it was Georgia Bank and Trust then. It's where I bank, where the church banks. And I was making a deposit or doing something. And I go through the drive-thru. And I happened to notice, I had to wait a while, and I happened to notice a lady in my rearview mirror, the car behind me. There was just this oppression, this heaviness, almost like a scowl on her face. And I just kept noticing it. And it was weird. I was like, Lord, why am I sort of fixed on this? And I felt like the Lord gave me a word. There was a scripture that came to mind that I felt like I was supposed to give to her. And so she's in the car behind me. We're in the drive-thru. So I thought, okay, after I get my transaction done, the tube will be there. I'll write a note, put it in the tube. She will drive up. She will open it. She will see the note. She will be encouraged. Sounds like a plan, right? I thought that would work. So I do all of that, and I drive away. And a couple hours later, I'm back at the church, and I get a phone call. And it is a teller from South State, from Georgia Bank and Trust, saying, Pastor Leroy, thank you so much for the word that you gave me. And she goes on about just what she was going through and how it just specifically spoke to and just really encouraged her and blessed her, because she, you know, she knew me from banking there, and she wanted to call and tell me and thank me. And I didn't have the heart to say, I'm sorry, that wasn't for you. But anyway, but apparently it was. So we hear in part, we see in part. And the key is, okay, God, I just want to be obedient. This didn't work out the way I had planned, or I thought it was going to work out. But that happens, and it's okay. It's all right. Because it's not about our identity being built on, look at how I function in spiritual gifting. Again, when it goes there, that's not going to work out well. It's all about bringing glory and bringing honor to God. And this is how Peter puts it in his letter to the church. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, whatever it is, whether it is a power gift that God supernaturally empowers you to have in that moment, a gift of healing, or if it's that innate gifting of hospitality or administration, whatever it is, use that gift that you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And so the only right motivation for operating in spiritual gifts is love and service to others and honor and praise to God. And the moment that we think otherwise, again, that's where it's going to go off the rails. So love has to be our motivation. And we're talking about agape love. Agape love. The same love that we see Paul talk about in 1 Corinthians 13. Follow the way of love here in chapter 14. It's that agape love. And this is a new take on this word love for the Greek culture. If you were to go back and look at the use of the word agape, this word in the Greek for love, it is rarely used in any other Greek writings of this time. This was a new phenomenon that was brought on by the early Christian church, because this is a love that always seeks the highest good of another person, regardless of how that person is going to respond or react to receiving that love. This is a love that's unconditional. This is a love that is motivated more by our will than by our emotions. Like, I feel all warm and fuzzy, therefore I'm going to love you. No. This is, I choose to love you regardless of how you respond or react to me. It's a selfless, unconditional, sacrificial love. And this is the same word that's used by Jesus in expressing the Father's love for us. For God so loved the world. This is the same word, that unconditional love that he gives to us. And so my encouragement, my invitation to us as the church is, let's be people with open hands, ready to receive whatever tool the Holy Spirit wants to put in our hands, open ears, open hearts to listen intently to how he wants us to use those gifts, because the church will only be fully effective when every one of us, not just the spiritually elite, and we don't have that group here, so, but when every one of us, every person, kids, youth, adults, men, women, everyone is operating with spiritual gifts, not just here at Vineyard Church of Augusta, but as we leave here, filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, to go and to serve God's purposes in naturally supernatural ways. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. So let's stand together.